Soprano Don Upshaw and composer John Harbison have been longtime collaborators. Upshaw recorded John Harbison's Mirabai songs back in 1988, and they've been working together ever since. This past year, both Don Upshaw and John Harbison had the opportunity to pass on the lessons of collaboration to a new generation of singers and composers. Jeff London has the story.
Early last May, four young composers and four young singers gathered in a rehearsal room at Carnegie Hall to embark on the experience of their lives. They had been selected by John Harbison and Don Upshaw out of a field of over 250 musicians to participate in a kind of collaborative petri dish. The program was sponsored by the Weill Music Institute. Over the next 5 months, they would create and perform new vocal chamber works to get a real-world taste of creative collaboration. And at the end of the workshop in October, there'd be a public concert in Carnegie's Weill Recital Hall.
Same place. Try that.
Okay, yeah.
For many of the participants, this is the first time they've met face to face. John Harbison says he and Don Upshaw paired the teams based on hunches.
So we'll be interested when we actually hear real live people doing these pieces, whether that does fit.
One of the arranged marriages is between composer Kirill Makin, 32, and mezzo-soprano Lori Rubin, 25. While Makin has written a lot of instrumental music, he hasn't written for the voice since his student days, so he wanted to get a sense of Lori Rubin's sound. As soon as Carnegie paired them up, Kirill says the two began trading emails and recordings.
I also just asked her questions about her voice to describe to me, you know, what range is best for you, where should I write that would be most comfortable. And that was pretty much it. And then I wrote the piece.
Singer Lori Rubin.
Well, when I first looked at it, to be very honest, I went, this is really high. I was like, I wonder if saying that I'm a high mezzo was a mistake.
Don Upshaw and John Harbison have asked the composers to bring in short excerpts from the pieces they want to write, but Kirill Makin's brought a complete 15-minute draft of his score for Target, a look at wartime propaganda. The text is by poet Jenna Osman, who's used real sayings from leaflets dropped over Afghanistan and Iraq.
She told me she was trying to show sort of the ties between the language of invasion and the language of advertising. These texts are really sinister, I think, the way she's transformed them.
The challenge for Lori Rubin is to sort out Kirill's intentions, find the right tone for the different sections of the piece. When is she being ironic? When is she frightened? All while using some avant-garde vocal techniques like inhaling while speak singing. Don Upshaw has some pointers.
What if you think a little higher pitch? I know it isn't pitched, really, but as you're inhaling, think a little higher. That the target.
Oh, okay. Can we try it?
Yeah, can you just try that? I just want to...
Sure.
That the target. Yeah, that's great.
Meanwhile, another team, composer Gabriella Lina Frank, 32, and baritone Robert Gardner, also 32, are exploring a completely different musical world and culture. Frank is petite and mercurial. Her nickname, appropriately enough, is Gabby. She's of Peruvian, Chinese, Lithuanian, Jewish descent, and writes in a style that combines classical rigor with Latin American folk idioms. Gabby is adapting Songs of Seafar and the Sea by Nicaraguan poet Pablo Antonio Cuadra. It's an epic cycle about a sailor on Lake Nicaragua that she hopes to turn into an evening-length work. For the Carnegie recital in October, she'll present several songs. At this stage, she's got about 5 minutes of music written.
Central American music is known for its marimba culture, so I'm trying to make the piano sound like a marimba. It's known for certain kinds of vocal writing, so I wrote just a short little thing to give to Bob, say, Bob, does this feel good in the throat?
One thing that feels good for Bob Gardner is using his falsetto, lightly sung high notes. and Gabby's writing for it. But Dawn Upshaw wants Bob to loosen up.
The falsetto, I think it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just enjoy
yourself. I was feeling the pain in it. I was feeling the pain. Yeah.
Dawn Upshaw says this stage of the process is about discovering the individual voices of the participants, knowing where to push, knowing where to hold back.
You know, you become familiar with this musical world, this musical language, whatever is distinctive about it to that particular composer, you know, and then you're able to live in that world with greater understanding.
And after 2 days, the participants are understanding things about themselves and their work. Gabby Frank says she needs to find a more accurate way to convey how her folk-inflected music should sound to pianist Molly Morkowski and singer Bob Gardner, to make it swing.
Molly and Bob were very true, very good musicians. They did what I asked them to do, and it didn't convey what I had in mind, that I didn't properly execute my job as a composer in capturing a notation that speaks for itself.
And Kirill Makin realizes that despite a complete draft, Target isn't finished yet. He needs to rewrite the ending.
I just think that I just ran out of time. So once I get back into composing mode and get back into the mode of the piece, I'm sure something will happen.
5 months later, in early October, the participants reconvene with 4 complete pieces of vocal chamber music. A lot has gone on over the summer. Kirill Makin has begun a new teaching position at the University of Illinois and has written a new ending for Target. Lori Rubin has traveled to California and England for singing workshops, and Gabby Frank has dealt with some serious health issues, even as she's completed 10 songs. Diagnosed with Graves' disease 3 years ago, Gabby had to have an eye operation this summer. Carnegie Hall arranged for Bob Gardner to fly from New York to visit her.
I was very fortunate to go out to California this summer and work with her on some of these things, since she had had a surgery and was just starting to get back to where she could see so that she could write again.
And Gabby's happy to be back in the workshop.
And it's really great to be able to celebrate my health immediately, you know, with some good music making.
For the next 3 days, the composers and musicians will be working with Dawn Upshaw and John Harbison to get their pieces ready to perform. Not only does the new music need to be learned, it has to be absorbed by the singers. Lori Rubin is having some troubles with the rewritten ending of Target. Lori's been blind since birth and learns her music by rote. She has a pianist play the score and give her detailed descriptions of the pitches, note values, and markings. Then she types up a manuscript in Braille with the lyrics and measure numbers.
Let's start that again. You added one beat for As Mechanical Echo.
Kirill Makin says his appreciation for Lori's musicianship has only grown over the course of the workshop.
I think it's because of her being blind that her ear is so advanced in terms of color, in terms of pitch, in terms of timbre, and in terms of just her general expressiveness. But because she's blind, there are other things that she can't do quite as well that have required more attention that I think a sighted singer wouldn't have to spend so much time on. So we didn't a lot of time in the rhythm today, because the rhythms are complex enough that not being able to see them, it's hard to actually relate them verbally, which is what she has to rely upon, either orally or verbally.
As the recital approaches, composer Gabby Frank says she wants the performers to claim her work for themselves.
It's not my music anymore. Even if I'm making changes, it's not necessarily my changes. It's changes to further what they want to do. So it's letting go of it and feeling so honored that these people have digested the music and it's really part of them and they have something at stake.
Mm-hmm. And the final performance in a packed Weill recital hall seems to electrify the workshop participants, Bob Gardner and Don Upshaw.
I've really learned a lot about what it takes to make good music from this. And one of the things I'm going to take with me is environment. And to have this womb of creativity and to have such levels of artists to work with really has been special.
Just seeing all of them and thinking about the force, the energy, the conviction that they brought to their work and the respect that they had for each other, all of the musicians and the composers. It was really a beautiful culmination. I feel inspired and energized. It was extremely powerful.
For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.